Oh, hi. Cold opener. This is the horn. The program is live. It really, really is. It's the 31st day of August, 2021. I'm Robin, and we're live on Facebook, and we are live on the horn stream. I hope the head-on.live stream, and I'll wait for confirmation from maybe Brother Deacon Asa or someone over in the chat room to let me know that we are in fact cooking with gas. Don't know yet. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll find out fairly in fairly short order. Okay, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. We are in fact live. And I'm broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Killen, Alabama. I've run from one storm into another, as it were. And what I mean by that is I dodged Ida and came up here, where, of course, it being the Deep South and the Confederacy and everything, and there are some people with really, really, really poor IQs and even poor understandings of basic science. The Rona is running wild. Now, this is the county that I'm in is not a particularly big county, not that populous, but a friend of mine here texted me, "Come on, come here, baby. Jump up. Come on, it's okay. Come on. Yeah, come on. I have broadcast hell. Come on, Holly. Come on up. Yes, that's a good girl. That's a good girl. This is my new friend Holly. And Holly is a Huskador. And we're great friends. We've been spending a couple of days together. We spent a couple of days together because anyway, I had. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to still be petting. Holly and I have spent a couple of days together because a very, very dear friend of mine that I graduated high school with invited me to spend a couple of nights here before I head down to Birmingham for my surgery physical exam and consult. And that's what I've been doing since I got here on Sunday evening. And so tomorrow is a very, very big day. Tomorrow, I get up at a crazy hour of the morning and drive a couple hours down to Birmingham. And I will then, I've got an appointment scheduled, and I will find out if I'm a candidate for gender confirmation surgery. And it's been really kind of wild, being back in my hometown in my authentic skin. Mostly, it's been a really, really wonderful experience. Who knew? Every time I take my hand off her head, she's like, "Now put it back. I like this." Holly's about 3 years old. But anyway, my dear friend Lila said, "Come on up." And so, since trying to minimize things like costs and whatnot, I took her up on the offer, and it has been nothing but absolutely wonderful. But anyway, I'm ahead of myself because I didn't have. We did a cold opening, and by the way, okay. Thank you very thank thanks thank you, Carl. That's kind of, it lets me know that that the Facebook thing is working, and I'm sorry for the Facebook audio, but we're having to use the microphone there. At least I hope we're sending audio to Facebook because I've got problems I have to sort out technical wise when I get home. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program, of course, is no different. And it is the 31st day of August, which means it is a subscriber-free day because we really don't have many subscribers in the last couple of days of the month, especially 31-day months. And so we usually use the 31st day of the month to thank our Patreon subscribers, which and I'm just really terrible at the interface. For Patreon, because it's not particularly user friendly. Let's see if it's going to let me. No, not yet. No, not that either. I don't know. I'm sorry, but this happens at the end of every month because I'm just not particularly good at this interface. But anyway, I was going to say something earlier about how burned up with COVID this area is. I'm in Northwest Alabama, and the Alabama Public Health says that there are 10,083 confirmed cases in the county I'm in. And 254 people have died. The county across the river, Colbert County, is slightly less populous, and therefore it has 6,635 cases and 142 dead. And of course, it's college football season, y'all. Nobody loves college football more than we do in the South. And so consequently, every blessed stadium throughout the South is going to be jam-packed full, and the angel of death will just be flapping around all of these stadiums with all of these people, butthole to belly button, smollicking and larping and grabulating all over each other, no social distancing, no masks, and a whole bunch of liquor and beer and vino and whatever, and, hey man, I love you, we're all tied. Just be angel of death, just be sprinkling out little COVID viruses all over Bryant-Denny Stadium and Jordan-Hare Stadium and General Neyland Stadium and whatever the hell the name of the stadium is there in Athens, Georgia, and Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Mississippi. Tiger Stadium, and well, I don't know if they can even have football in Louisiana right now. Tiger Stadium might be a great big soup bowl. God, that's so sad. But anyway, I do want to send out some thanks because I haven't thanked our PayPal subscribers over the last week or so. So we've got to get through that because you know y'all are how the program stays on the air, and I appreciate it. We all do. Thank you so much to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Steve. Thanks as well to Joseph and Sharon. Thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island. Thank you to Suman. Thank you so much to Randy in PA. Thank you to David in San Diego. Thanks so much, so very, very much to dear, dear friend Sarah. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Texas T. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you all for all you've done to make sure that we stayed a bit funded while I've been on the road. So that leaves it. We're going to finish the month of August about $1,000 behind. And that makes things difficult. But hopefully we will take a bite out of that along the way. Hey, thank you very kindly, Darlene in Connecticut says loud and clear. Wonderful. Thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy says you're live. I appreciate it. And if you'll give me just a minute, I really, really want to find, where in the living hell do they keep this list? There it is. There it is. So thank you very kindly to Benjamin. And thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you to Janice. Thank you to David in South Carolina. I'm sorry. David in San Diego. Thank you to Eve. Thank you to our pal, RICO in the, I guess, probably just as bit as wet as West Virginia is Berg. Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Nancy. Thank you to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you to dear Bernadette, she of Pre's Trees. And the salve for what ails you. Thank you, Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Oak. Thank you, Dave, number 11. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Balmer Bob. Thank you, Jeff in Slow. And Kay, thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you to the Nubian. Thank you to KW. Thanks to Barb in Minnesota. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Fab. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you, Jeremy. Those are our Patreon subscribers. And so, well, you're all the reason the program stays on the air. And that means the world. Are we doing okay? Are we doing okay? Happy holiday. Yeah? Precious. So, it's been an absolutely magnificent time, and it's also been a harrowing one. When we were talking last, I think this Friday passed. And by the way, schedule for the program. Fingers crossed, I will be back on the air tomorrow. No, I lied. I'll be back on the air Thursday, and then we'll have Friday on the front porch. What I anticipate doing, and unless, oh, did you not see her? Your mother doesn't let you on this side. Come back over here, baby. Come here, sweetie. It's okay. No, I was not. No, I'm not mad. Come here. Come here, baby. Come here. Stephanie wants to see the puppy. Stephanie wants to see you.
Yes, she does. Stephanie wants to see you, baby. Pretty girl. Yes. Here she is. See, there she is. Yes. Want to play?
No, I'm sure she'll come over to the other side. Oh, there she is. Yeah. Oh, we are not gonna wrestle right now. Anyway, I'm sure she'll wander by. The Holly's about the sweetest little dog I think I've ever met. But no, I'll be back on the air Thursday, and then we'll have Friday on the front porch, and then September will begin. And I don't know, cue up Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire is the official band of September. See, okay, there she is. See, there's Holly. There's a Holly. Yeah, your little sweet baby. Your baby. Where's your dog baby? That's her. And well, a lot of time on the road. So anyway, big day tomorrow. Get up early, go to Birmingham, meet with the surgeon, find out if I'm a candidate, and then I should be out of there by noon, and on the road and back headed toward where the hurricane is now. And I got to tell you a little story. My grandmother's name was Ida, and it was the damnedest thing. And I'm sure, and Lord, I understand, just like other names. And maybe we need to just start giving alphabetical names to hurricanes, because it ruins names for people. Camille, Ida, Katrina, yeah. And that's a pity, because my grandmother Ida was an amazing, amazing woman, very strong Appalachian woman, brilliant. But here's the thing: Ida came ashore in Louisiana, and my grandmother Ida built the house that we live in 1937. And I was looking at the storm track, and damned if she wasn't headed right for our old house. And I checked in with Agnes earlier today, and apparently she's drenching West Virginia. A barge cut loose in the Ohio River and got up into Third Avenue in Huntington, West Virginia, Agnes told me, which is just unheard of. It's absolutely harrowing. Hey, my brother Rusty's watching from Eriolde, England. Hey, Rusty. And Mark, in an unknown location in Florida, is watching. This Facebook thing's kind of fun. I've got to make this work back at home in the Fabulous Horn Studios. But Ida basically is parked in Appalachia, where Appalachia is pulling all the remaining moisture out of Ida, and there were flood watches and flood warnings when I last checked in up home. And so I guess I'm going to drive home. I'm going to drive to Birmingham in the rain tomorrow, and I'm going to drive home in the rain tomorrow. And maybe it'll get nice because what's the line from Boys of Summer? Feel it in the air. Summer's out of reach. Empty lake, empty sea. The sun goes down alone. Yeah, we're headed toward autumn. And where the hell did the summer go? But there's a hell of a lot of news going on this evening. Oh, and by the way, you know, we'll do some conversation. Oh, that's what I forgot. Oh, stand by, please, if you don't mind. I forgot to bring the iPad in here so we can have connectivity to Skype. I'll be right back, okay? Right back. Well, hey, thank you, Mark. Mark over in Facebook says, looking and sounding good, Robin. I appreciate that very much. And what I wanted to do was make sure that I had the iPad hooked up so that we could actually have some Skype-based conversation if anybody wants to call the program. Of course, the program, the caller audio will not go out over Facebook because, like I said, technical difficulties. That message coming. Ah, Steve in New York wants to know, are you on air tonight? So let me respond to that. Okay. This makes things considerably easier to have the iPad screen available, and that means we can do Skype calls. Can't do stress line calls because the phone that usually is the stress line is engaged in being the Facebook camera. Well, thank you, Darlene. Nice lipstick, Darlene says. I like it. Jeremy in Vermont says, what's the big deal with COVID? I mean, the CDC's only said a few hundred to 200,000 people will die before the end of the year and winter if we don't change our ways. But, you know, feed them. Yeah, Wolverines, right? Sure. And that brings me, of course, to the story that was very much at the top of my mind. I saw this, last night, night before last. Agnes sent it along to me, and I honestly checked. I checked to make sure that this was a real, live, no kidding, honest to goodness, accept no substitutes, legitimate website, and, you know, not some parody website. It wasn't The Onion. It wasn't Andy Borowitz or any of that stuff. No, it was a real website. And what the real website said just that made my liver quiver. It's awful. I know. Noise. Bad broadcast. But I still like the little nicotine pouches. Beats the heck out of me lighting a cigarette now, doesn't it? But the story came out of Ohio. And, great God Almighty, I sat there and said, no, this can't possibly be true. You remember, just by way of setup, do you remember how we talked about the fact that Gavin Newsom, the elected governor of California, had to go to court and ask, pretty please, mother, may I, to campaign on the fact that the recall campaign in California is just a giant, fraudulent, hoodoo, blue smoke and mirrors act on the part of maggot Republicans. He had to ask the court for permission to do that. And the court said, yeah, you can do that. Well, I thought of that when I saw this story out of Ohio, and the Ohio Capital Journal is, in fact, a real publication. And anybody, Steve included, from Ohio, who would like to tell me where Butler County is. I mean, I know Cincinnati is, that's not happening. Well, a woman went to court, and I find it difficult to even give voice to this because it's just so goddamn crazy. A woman went to court in Butler County, Ohio, because her husband, very likely unvaccinated, but the news story doesn't say, because somebody might get a sad about that or claim that it was a violation of the HIPAA Act or something. A woman went to court in Butler County, Ohio, and got an injunction against the hospital that her husband was in fighting for his life because he got the Rona. And, you know, current statistics suggest that it's probably 99% likely that he's one of those unvaccinated people. Hi, Judy. Or, I'm sorry, Jody. Vowels are difficult at this distance unless I've got my glasses on. Hi, Jody. She asked the court to force the hospital to give her husband the horse paste treatment. No shit. Okay, I'm being a little bit unfair. But really, the court complied. The court said, oh, sure. Hey, University of Cincinnati Hospital, you have got to give ivermectin to this woman's poor dying husband and make him more miserable than he already is. Because dude's on a vent. Dude is already horizontally crucified. He's chemically sedated. He can hear everything that's going on. This is what makes horizontal crucifixion so godforsaken terrifying. That's right. We've talked about it before. It's right out of a science fiction novel. For I have no mouth and I scream. So it wasn't her husband saying, Honey, ivermectin. Or, that's too big a word. Honey, horse paste. Jesus, it's like the absurdest end. It's like the absurdest version of Citizen Kane. Citizen Maggot. You remember Citizen Kane? The enigma of Yeah. Well, apparently it wasn't Mr. MAGA saying horse paste. And I have sympathy. I'm not without sympathy. Wait, okay. I wish I had my cowbell with me because Joe, you said Rosebud Vectin. But she's got to be frantic. I'm sure she's scared to death. She knows that there's a good chance she's about to lose her husband of however many years. And she's frantic. And she apparently watches Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, News Muck, what is it? RAN or whatever. Real America, True, what a bullshit. And of course, Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. And went to court and said, I want y'all to tell the hospital to give my honey some horse paste. It's all right if you can only get the sheep dip version, that's fine too. Because Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, done told me that it works so well, and that the only reason it ain't the miracle cure that we all know it is because the medical profession hates Donald Trump. Pain. And the court agreed with her. Holy God, the court agreed with her. I mean, I can only imagine it's what Judge Mr. Haney telling the massive University of Cincinnati hospital system. This court officially finds that Mr. MAGA needs a what? Mr. MAGA needs a whopping dose of sheep dip. Jesus, these Republicans, these Trump supporters. No, I haven't seen the follow-up yet. But the last I checked, yeah. They're gonna. Yeah. And the judge, who is not a doctor, even told them what dose to give. Can someone please file a petition for practicing medicine without a license against Judge Thumbbutt in Butler County, Ohio? Butler County Common Pleas Judge Gregory Howard. And in Ohio, the Court of Common Pleas is like what, Magistrate Court in West Virginia? Ordered Westchester Hospital, part of the University of Cincinnati network, to treat Jeffrey Smith, 51, with horse paste. I mean, yeah, ivermectin. The order, filed August 23rd, compels the hospital to provide Smith with 30 milligrams of ivermectin daily for 3 weeks. A judge from a pig and chicken court overruled the medical judgment of people with decades of medical experience. The Ohio Capital Journal continues and says the drug, and we know this, the drug was originally developed to deworm livestock animals before doctors began using it against parasitic diseases among humans. And yes, in fact, In 2015, a number of researchers actually won the Nobel Prize for discovering that ivermectin could be used in humans. Here's the thing, though. What they got the Nobel Prize for discovering was that ivermectin can be used in humans to cure river blindness or to eradicate head lice. Yeah. Some parasitic diseases. And I hate it. Well, you know, you can't explain anything to a maggot, but the fact of the matter is, the Rona is not a parasitic disease. It's not like hookworms or head lice or any of the various and sundry godforsaken horrifying worms that livestock can get. And of course, you know, there are worm diseases inside in human beings, because those things actually adapted to living in humans because our Eurasian and African ancestors engaged in animal husbandry. And the closer you get to animals, the more likely it is that they will make the zoonotic jump to humanity. So, you know, yay, yay. Jeffrey Smith is going to get him 30 milligrams of ivermectin daily for 3 weeks. And I don't know what it's like to be on a vent and horizontally crucified and shitting yourself to death at the same time. But there we go. And here we are. Oh, okay. So Steve tells me the Court of Common Pleas is actually the trial court. So this jackass is actually a real live lawyer who's a judge. It reminds me of the old gag about what do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 70? Your Honor. Yeah, the court ordered the hospital to fill a prescription that a doctor wrote for her husband. The court did not order the hospital to do it on its own. Well, but see, here's the thing. The court does not have jurisdiction to order the hospital to give the treatment. He's on a vent. Who's going to administer it to him? Ultimately, the guy, this jackass judge, is exceeding his jurisdiction and probably needs to not ever be a judge again. I mean, that's some considerable hubris. Judge Gregory Howard will be lucky if he doesn't wind up on a vent. My God. And we can see the jackassery of this by virtue of a case coming out of a considerably saner state. And what I mean by that is, you know, not Ohio. And in this case, Illinois. Another terrified spouse, I guess maybe having heard about Judge Horsepaste in Butler County, ran to court in Illinois saying, "Ooh, you gotta give my honey some horse paste like they're doing over in Ohio." But in that case, the judge is actually somewhat sane. Because the Illinois judge looked at Mrs. Maggot and said, no, you don't get the Donald Trump horse paste cure. And instead said to do so, to give him horse paste, would turn him into a guinea pig. Now, that considerably saner case comes out of Sangamon County, Illinois, and Circuit Judge Adam Higanti. That was today. Because Mrs. Maggot in Illinois had filed an injunction, just like Mrs. Maggot did in Ohio, against the hospital where her husband was being treated. And she wanted to enjoin the hospital and its pharmacists from refusing to fill the prescription. And lawyers showed up for Memorial Hospital and said that ivermectin is unproven and potentially unsafe. And by the way, the physician who filled the horse paste prescription for Mrs. Maggot in Illinois, Dr. Alan Bain, is a telemedicine physician. He has nothing more than a little bit of paperwork about the patient. The patient there in that case in Illinois is a Mr. Klaus. And the lawyers for the hospital said that Dr. Alan Bain chose to ignore widespread medical advice on the use of ivermectin in COVID-19 patients, adding, he wants to make Mr. Klaus a guinea pig. And another hospital lawyer said, yeah, and the doc didn't even adequately review his medical record. Well, you know, there's an argument to be made, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, maggots is parasites. I say give them all the ivermectin they ask for. Well, you have to understand this is a case of global worming. I stole that from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Yeah. And there's and Dr. Quack, Alan Bain said, I've seen patients either get better because of ivermectin or the drug has given signals that is causing some benefit. And then this. I don't think she could live with herself knowing that not everything was tried. Everything? Everything, Dr. Bain? How about we give Mr. Horizontally Crucified Klaus a microdose of acid? That's part of everything. That's a drug. How about a little ecstasy? I mean, at least he might feel a little bit better about his going. Okay? Valium? Well, no, they've already got him sedated there on the horizontal crucifix. Right. You know, let's just throw the kitchen sink at him. Because, you know, Quack Bain says, says everything has to be tried. Everything. Everything. How about Rogaine? Maybe give Mr. Klaus a little dose of, I don't know, the little blue pill? Come and go at the same time. Yeah. Jesus, these people. Among other things, doctors found a cyst on Mr. Klaus's liver. And, the judge, Judge Gigante, said he was surprised that Dr. Bain would still want him to receive horse paste even after the discovery of the liver cyst. His treating physicians believe administration of ivermectin will likely result in kidney and lung damage, which can lead to organ failure and death. Mr. Klaus already has weakened liver and kidney function, and ivermectin is more likely to push these organs over the edge. Yeah, but they don't care because they trust Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, fucking Republican. Who doesn't give a good goddamn about anybody suffering? He's proven that. He routinely inveighs against masks, and he's the one out there hooting and hollering about how it's just because they hate Trump. God almighty. Stephen New York says, I agree conceptually with what you're saying regarding taking ivermectin. However, to be honest, I'm not sure if the court in Ohio could have done any different. The husband's on a vent, unconscious. The husband probably signed a health care proxy giving Frau Maggot the right to make decisions for him as spouse. She probably has that right anyway. It does beg the question, however, if I'm right, what are the limits? Could the court compel the hospital to fill a prescription for injecting bleach? I'm just not sure the judge had much of a choice. Of course he had a choice. Every judge has a choice. And the hospital is there defending. This guy's a boob. I mean, it's one thing to fill a prescription, it's another thing to administer it. How do you compel the doctors in the hospital to do something that will subject them to, I mean, it will constitute a great big honking, howling breach of the standard of care, which is, of course, what medical malpractice is based on. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe Mrs. Maggot is a grifty maggot. Maybe if she gets the injunction and gets the doctors to give her comatose hubby the horse paste, and then he shuffles off this mortal coil, ask after him in the morning, and you'll find him a very grave fellow after the horse paste. Well, then she'll turn around and sue the doctor for administering the ivermectin because it was clearly a breach of the standard of care. Or would they perhaps make, I mean, I'm hoping if she's acting as his personal representative that she's gonna have to sign 5,000 pages of releases before they get anywhere near hubby with the horse paste. Cure. Yeah. Thank you, Darlene says, thanks for doing this on the road, Robin. Nice studio digs you got there. Well, you can thank Ms. Lila for that, because she's got a lovely home here. And it was her idea, actually. She said, why don't you do it proper? See, she'll be home soon. And, I don't know. But that's a perfect example. Illinois, and there's one state, Talibandiana, between Illinois and Ohio. And they're all just 50 petty little kingdoms that can do as they will. Got another 50 petty little kingdoms case. Only it's not 50, it's 20. It's disgusting. I mean, by the way, do y'all want to talk about Afghanistan? We can if you want to. Oh, hi, Anna. Well, it's on Facebook this evening. Anna says, this is ever so exciting. And, you know, one of these days we'll get the studio put together and it'll be on Facebook all the time. But hi, Anna. We can talk about Afghanistan. I don't know what there is to talk about. God knows you can't turn on the for-profit media without finding some multimillionaire of the for-profit media opining woefully into a microphone how sad they're going to be that we're leaving Afghanistan, because, gosh, this is some of the best excitement they've ever had. Now they're going to have to go back to the boring stuff. I mean, Richard Engel, I thought he was going to cry. Not about the loss of life. Not about the horrors that are going to unfold in Afghanistan, in a country that we never should have invaded in the first place. Because the United States should not be in the invasion business unless somebody's attacked us first in Afghanistan. Not even the Taliban did that. That was Al-Qaeda. I mean, the only thing I see to talk about in the Afghanistan matter is the monumental failure that was going in there, and the, oh my God, terrible horrible, no good, very bad attempts at journalism that took place. The breathless reporting. One reporter says one thing, and some other reporter repeats what the reporter said, and the next thing you know, what the reporter said is the news instead of what's going on. And Stephen New York and I were actually messaging about this yesterday evening. And he said he thought that nobody would even remember the story in 6 months. I said, no, 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 no. When the for-profit media, which is of course owned by corporations which hate having democratic presidents, when they decide that they're going to just beat a story to pieces, they hang on to it like a junkyard dog with an old bone. Yeah. And the Biden surrender, good God, who's that horrible general that actually threw his every bit of his credibility and his reputation away by going to work for Nitwit Nero, H.R. McMaster. They brought him on. I think it was last Wednesday to talk to Mrs. Greenspan on MSNBC, and he called it Biden's surrender at least three times. I guess he couldn't remember the guy that he used to work for, you know, Nitwit Nero, and the fact that he negotiated, and, you know, Mike Pompeo on his behalf, you know, Mike Pompeo graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh, that just always makes me laugh. First in his class at West Point, yeah. Yeah, Mike Pompeo negotiated the deal. And, of course, that was that we were supposed to just say to hell with it and be out by May of this year. If Nitwit Nero had had his way. Now, if Nitwit Nero had actually been elected and had actually gotten more votes than Joe Biden did and more electoral college votes, you know, that anachronistic holdover from the vicious days in when this country practiced slavery. How about that? I don't know if that's a joke or if that's reality. Mark says McMaster finished second in his class at West Point. Well, Pompeo was still there, Gene, because he was Nitwit Nero's Secretary of State. The deal was negotiated back in 2020. Yeah. And it was negotiated in 2020 as a way to ratfuck a Democratic president, if that came to pass. Oh, okay, second in his class. Okay, that was a joke. Well played, Mark. Come on. You can come up. The for-profit media can't remember, I mean, where the Afghanistan withdrawal was concerned, the for-profit media, for the life of them, can't seem to remember that Donald Trump was ever president at all. Biden surrender, Biden surrender, Biden surrender. Tell us more about the Biden surrender. And so, meanwhile, Nitwit Nero sits on the sidelines, grunting at whomever is being his aide-de-camp now. I mean, he's down to just tweeting sending out those pathetic press releases now. It's like, make America great again. Yeah, it's pitiable if he wasn't so awful. And now it's the drumbeat is America used to never leave anyone behind, and now we do under Joe Biden. Tell piss off. I seem to recall no small number of MIAs who were still missing in Vietnam. Yeah. So, like I said, if you want to, I mean, and if you want to come in via Skype, that's cool. I'm up for that. And we can talk about Afghanistan, but I don't really want to because there's nothing left to talk about. It's been talked to pieces. Yeah. On the other hand, I said that we had another one of those petty kingdom cases. We did. 20 petty kingdoms. On our buddy David the Blind says, horse paste, doesn't the package say not for human consumption? Yeah, but you can still buy it. That's like you go to a sporting goods store, Tannerite says not for not to be used by terrorists in blowing up buildings, but still do it. It's the honor system. Darlene in Connecticut says Joe is getting the heat and McCarthy and the rest of the House Republicans are calling for his impeachment, so you know what the payback is for Trump's two impeachments if the Republicans reclaim the House. Oh, no doubt about that. But Joe looked ticked off today in his speech. He isn't taking any crap. No, Joe, President Biden was the mite hot under the collar, and rightfully so. And he spoke forcefully and strongly. And I'm still impressed. I'm still incredibly impressed by him. It's like watching a person with a high IQ. Well, I mean, he is, as compared to watching someone whose IQ is somewhere around centigrade freezing, which is, of course, Nitwit Nero. Dumber than a box of rocks. Dumber than a bag of. Oh, a little bit more background. Coming from Steve in New York on the Ohio horse paste case. The article comes from Cincinnati.com. This is a quote from the news story. A spokeswoman for Attorney General Dave Yost declined comment and referred inquiries to the Board of Pharmacy and Veterinary Board. Yeah, the Attorney General didn't make any reference to the Board of Medicine. Anybody? Oh, wait. How about the Judicial Ethics Board? Maybe. But we are coming up on the second hour of the program, and frankly, I don't know how long the battery is going to last in on the phone. But if you want to get involved in the conversation, well, we haven't hardly talked in days and days. I think you're being charitable, Gene. Gene says Trump's IQ is closer to 89. Well, I think it's closer to 81 than 89. Or maybe I'm being dyslexic about it. Maybe it's closer to 18 than 81. But this is, of course, Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and it is a time for taking note, if not celebrating, the Titanic intellect of the right wing and the Republican Party. Ut ne ute, I pray if you ne what I ain't name. From horse paste to bleach to, and I did think about that earlier, just a little question. Might have been handy to have one of Donald Trump's hurricane nukes earlier this week and late last week. No, really, we can do that. We can take a nuclear bomb and we can drop it on the hurricane and everything will be cool. And then there will be like free fish that are landing in like, Wisconsin. It'll be free fish courtesy of Donald Trump. I mean, it might be a little radioactive, but so is fish when you cook it in the microwave, right? Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob. They're trying to kill us all. And meanwhile, somebody mentioned earlier voting rights. Well, today, legislature of the state of Texas passed an elections bill. It's called the Brown People, We Don't Want Brown People to Vote Bill. Texas, once Greg Abbott signs this nightmare into law, will become one of, if not the single most difficult state in the union to simply cast a ballot. Now bear in mind, it won't be difficult to cast a ballot in Texas if you're white and Republican. But oh no, 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 sunshine. If you are Latino, or if you are black, or Democrat, it's going to be real hard to vote. And you know why? Because Texas otherwise would be a bright blue state in a couple more election cycles. And Republicans who cannot abide to play on a level playing field and will cheat to hang on to power and have for 100 years. White supremacists always cheat to hang on to power. Here, take this ballpoint pen and sign your name on this wax paper. Can't do that. Doesn't work. Oh, here's your literacy test. Read this Chinese restaurant menu that's written in Mandarin. Can't do that? Well, you must be illiterate. This filthy garbage has been going on for too long. But remember, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts was sitting right there a few years back and declared that there's no such thing as racism in America anymore, so we didn't need the Voting Rights Act. And it was a case that came right out of where I am, right this very instant, Alabama. Because the Confederate states were just damned well tired of having the federal government striking down all their racist attempts to keep people from voting. And John Roberts, one of the most brilliantly evil of all Republicans, recognized that striking down the Voting Rights Act would be key to making sure that even after Republicans are nothing more than a pathetic little rump, aggrieved white people's party, they could hang on to power. And this is how they're going to do it. God. And it would be nice to say, well, you know, this is obviously so clearly unconstitutional. My God, it'll have to be stricken by the courts, won't it? No. No. Because there's a 6-3 majority sitting right there in Washington, D.C. You know, old Balls and Strikes Roberts and Sammy Bad Breath Alito, who said, sure, it's legal for the cops to shoot an unarmed black child in the back of the head 30 feet away because he's running. Sammy Alito, who said, sure, it's okay to send a cop in to strip search a 9-year-old little girl. And then there's Neil Gorsuch, who said, sure. Deny unemployment benefits to a black man whose truck broke down in the dead of winter and didn't stay and freeze to death in the truck and instead went for help. Yeah. Ann's boy Neil said that. And of course, there's Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, who has spent his entire life kissing up and kicking down. And Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer and having his mortgage paid off by anonymous donors. And of course, Amy Covid Barrett herself, the handmaid. And so those people are not exactly likely to strike down a Texas law that is designed to keep people like them in power. No, no, no. And they come into play as well in this other story that I've been meaning to get to. This is one of those stories that matters to people like me. And, well, you know, the maggots spent the entire legislative session all over the Confederacy last year introducing laws to try to hurt trans people and particularly trans children. You know, because they're the party of family values. And they're the party of life. You know, just as long as the life isn't trans. Right? And, for instance, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, who signed into law the bill to keep little trans girls from competing in sports, even though they have no competitive advantage whatsoever. All those arguments are just filthy lies, especially if they've had their puberty suppressed. Well, he's costing the state, and our Attorney General, pill pushing Patty Morrissey, are costing the state of West Virginia, a dirt poor state, a fortune in legal fees defending an indefensible bill. But it's a good racket. It's a good grift. Hey, son. My boy's watching. Hey, buddy. Home soon. Tell the baby I said hi. It's a good grift. It's a good racket. It is what the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, called a big dollar. Hating people like me. And so instead of sitting around defending odious bills, the bigoted, transphobic, hateful bills that come out of various and sundry hateful legislatures, Talabama, Kentucky Stan, Arkansas Stan, Texas Stan. Hey, Haley. Well, they decided to go on the offensive. Well, when Republicans get offensive, they get really offensive. And so, by Jove, they've done filed them a brand new lawsuit. Led by the state of Tennessee, and 19 other states joined in, and they are suing the Biden administration, trying to make sure that trans people can't have equal rights. Yeah, if you're a Republican and you're in the South, the only people who get equal rights are white people. White, cis, straight people. And so, brand new lawsuit claiming that the Biden administration has misconstrued the Supreme Court's Bostock decision by claiming its prohibition of discrimination applies to locker rooms, showers, and bathrooms under Title IX and Title VII, and biological men who identify as women competing in women's sports. They ain't men. Not even a little bit. No. No. Because, see, Bostock, the Biden administration used Bostock to say that trans people are actually human beings. Yeah. And of course, and so these 20 states are using state funds, taxpayer funds, some of those taxpayers being trans people. They're using trans people's taxpayer funds to sue the Biden administration to take rights away from trans people. By God, that's a... That's some catch, that catch 22. It's the best there is. And so, It was led by Tennessee Attorney General Herbert Slattery the Third.
Yeah.
And 19 other states jumped right on it. I mean, they planned this out. In particular, one of them who jumped into that with both feet was Pill Poppin' Patty Morrissey from my home state of West Virginia. You know, he helped roll enough OxyContin and hydrocodone, Lortabs and Vicodins into West Virginia, I think to provide something like 400 pills to every single citizen of the state. Man, woman, non-binary, and child. And in return, the Republicans said, you know what? If you can do that, you need to be Attorney General. It's what you need to be. Yes, you do. And so Pill Poppin' Patty Morrissey jumped right in there on that lawsuit. And so this case will go from the U.S. District Court level through the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, and right up to, wait, those six people I was talking about a minute ago. Yeah. And I don't hold a lot, I don't put a lot of stock in trusting a female Supreme Court justice who called herself a handmaid and adheres to a religious philosophy that says any decision she makes, she has to clear with a male, a cis male first. I don't think she's going to be a vote that people who believe in freedom and democracy and equality can count on. Or any of the other, yeah, that, okay, so let's be fair here. Maybe, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts might side with the decent human beings, and that would make it a 5-4 decision. And hate still wins. This is terrifying. If you're trans, of any variety. If you are an ally, if you are family of someone who's trans, this kind of bigoted, hate-filled, sickening litigation is a nightmare. And while the maggots like to run around and say, "Ooh, I'm going to have to get me a vaccine," that's just like being herded onto a cattle car and sent off to Auschwitz, which it isn't. Being declared a second-class citizen is terrifying. You know, I said when I started this process that I would never turn back, that I could not turn back, and I will not turn. And to know that there are 20 attorneys general in the United States who want to see me dead, and all my trans siblings dead, is chilling. And here's the best part, kids. All them attorneys general, or most all of them, I imagine, they're Christians. Yes, they love Jesus. Oh my goodness gracious, they're in church every time the doors open, worshiping and praying and hosannaing at that brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who never said a word about any of this. Not a word. They love Jesus, even though Jesus said don't hate people. He didn't understand what it was like today. By the way, there were trans people. And basically, these maggot attorneys generals, these sickening cisgender supremacists. Well, they say that Butler Bostock decision didn't have nothing to do with playing basketball. It was about employment. And the fact that these clowns had the nerve to reference locker rooms, it ain't about Bostock ain't about no locker rooms. I guess they've forgotten it's so long ago. They've forgotten about what Nitwit Nero said when he got caught on the Access Hollywood tape saying,
"Well, I always like to keep a Tic Tac in my mouth, because sometimes you just have to kiss people. You can do that when you're famous. Grab them by the pussy."
And then when he got caught saying all that, he said,
"Well, that was just locker room talk."
I know at the time I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I ain't never heard nobody talking. Because those people were raised right. Nitwit Nero was raised by the wolves. But there they are, referencing locker rooms. Yeah, ain't that fun? These maggot attorneys general are suing the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. They're suing the Department of Education. They're saying the Department of Education's guidance that it offered and issued said, that said, hey, y'all school boards, y'all can't discriminate against the trans kids, because that's ugly and hateful and nasty. Well, that was misguided. That's what that was. That was misguided. That was clearly they did not understand the original intent and the originalist framers' ideas of how. Jesus Christ. And they said that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, well. They went outside the scope of what it means to be the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission because they issued guidance that said that it's discrimination if you keep a transgender employee from going to the right bathroom or you force them to dress against their gender identity. Or force them to dress as their sex assigned at birth. I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to how these godforsaken pencil dicks are going to check, because you know what? The father or husband of some cisgender female is going to get real mad and punch the living shit out of somebody the first time somebody says, to say, a woman who's, say, 6'2", they do exist. There are 6'2" cis women who keep their hair short, don't wear cosmetics, prefer jeans and flannel shirts to, cocktail dresses. Some husband or daddy or brother is going to get real hot when somebody says, I need to see your birth certificate before you can go pee pee. And frankly, it's going to be delightful when somebody punches their teeth in. And I'm nonviolent and everything. Well, thank you, Denise. It's fun being able to respond in on so many different platforms. Stephen New York says, "The South will rise again." Oops, correction. The South didn't need to rise again. I've taken to asking people this rhetorical question. You still think the North won the Civil War? Won the battles, lost the war. But that's because the Constitution, as it was established, sets up an unlevel playing field. And from the moment the first Congress convened, Southern states had an inordinate amount of control in both the House and the Senate. Where do you think the filibuster came from, huh? Why do you think the three-fifths clause is in the Constitution? To make Southern populations look bigger than they were, so that they would actually have more representation than Northern states, who were only counting actual free citizens. See, isn't history fun?
I know.
So, Attorney General Slattery from Tennessee said the threat of withholding educational funding in the midst of a pandemic prompted his lawsuit and the other 19 MAGA attorney generals, Confederate attorney generals, to join in. Because if we don't get to discriminate, if we discriminate like we need to, like God wants us to, against the trans people during the pandemic, we won't get the federal money. And while we hate the federal government, we do love us from federal money. Because, after all, we in Confederate states, and we take in a lot more money than we pay out. And we couldn't survive without the federal money. We don't like to talk about that out loud in polite company, but we know it's real. So we want the federal money, y'all. Oh, and by the way, we're still not going to ask anybody to wear no damn, make anybody wear no damn masks. No. And so they may be worried about money, the pandemic money, but they're going to attack trans people during the pandemic. Oh, God. Yeah. And among other things, Tennessean's taking the lead because they passed some of the nastiest shit that has been lately seen. I reckon I'm about maybe 8 miles from Tennessee, where I'm sitting. Yeah. In Tennessee, the Tennessee legislature passed a law that said cisgender students should file a lawsuit if they see a trans person in the bathroom at school. Why is it so hard to mind your own damn business? Aren't they a creepy bunch? Wanting to peep through stall doors? I mean, you gotta work to see who's who. I don't know, maybe they're snaking in some of those little fiber optic cameras and just coming through. Once y'all close this, because they're going to be looking at everybody. It's not just the trans people, they're going to be looking at everybody. Because you got to find out who's trans and who's not. And they're trying to. Dummy up the suit and consequently they filed the lawsuit in the Eastern District of Tennessee, where the federal judge probably wears a straw hat and chews on a stalk of hay and wears his mud covered overalls and has a tube of ivermectin in one pocket when he takes the bench. Yeah. And all the other states joined in. I don't know. I don't under know under removal doctrine, can the Biden administration, since there's 20 states there, can the Biden administration just remove the case to the D.C. District Court? I don't know. And by the way, Stephen New York said an amendment to your statement. I'm thinking equal means cis white Southern men. Women may be mostly equal, but well, they're not as equal as men. And we're back to George Orwell's Animal Farm. Lord. And so, like I said on this Titanic Tuesday, it's the last broadcast of August, and we're going to finish up We're going to finish up, looks like, with about a $1,000 fundraising haul. But I wanted to get a little bit of a program in just to wrap things up for the week. Again, just a reminder, I will I'll be on the road all day tomorrow, and then I will be hopefully home tomorrow evening. But if the weather is craptastic, well, it'll be Thursday. But so the bottom line is, there's no reason why there should not be a show Thursday and Friday, so September 2nd and September 3rd. Oh, but this is just too good because it's Titanic Tuesday. Turns out that in addition to being Clanny Oakley, in addition to being Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, in addition to being Colorado's QAnon queen, yeah, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, I guess she got a little kinky side. You remember back when Jerry Falwell sort of fell from grace? Because it turned out that he was watching his wife, Becky, do the horizontal boogie with the pool boy. I think while Jerry was sitting tied to a chair in the corner with a ball gag. Right? Yeah, remember that? Well, that's how it is in Republican circles. Republicans are weird. They have libraries and kinky books and shit like that, and they learn all kinds of interesting things. So, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert is married to a dude named Jason Steven Boobert. Thank you, Joanne. Tell it, sweetie. Love you. Love you back. Thank you, Riley. Sending love back, too. And Jason Steven Boobert works in the natural gas industry. And, of course, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert somehow managed to get herself put on the House Natural Resources Committee. What a coincidence. Because the House Natural Resources Committee has oversight over the very industry that her hubby works in. Ain't that sweet? Well, she didn't bother to disclose that. That's kind of a violation of the rules, but you know, rules aren't for maggots. Rules are for everybody else. Yeah? And I am, hold on a second, let me check here. There may be a reason. People may be trying to get in. Like I said, the stress line is not available this evening because the stress line is providing the Facebook live video. But the Skype line is open. God, going back to the horse paste issue. That's brilliant, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, it makes you wonder what Terry Schiavo's shit-eating family would have done if she was around right about now and was intubated. Family? Hell, the former Republican Majority Leader Bill Cat Killer Frist would be barking and hooting and grunting and screaming and speaking in tongues hard about, we got to give Miss Terry some horse paste. You know it. And so the Skype line is open. I didn't have Skype open on the iPad. And that's my bad. but it should work now. But no, Lauren, what's that? Nancy asks, so why can't the Dem majority in the House at least censure her for not disclosing that conflict of interest? Because the House as a body generally does not do that. The House as a body refers that to the House Ethics Committee to take care of matters like that. Because if they had votes on the floor of the House for every one of these sorts of things, well, they'd never do anything but vote on ethics issues. Sad, but true. But no, seriously, if you want to engage in some conversation via Skype, I'm game. I think I'll go at least the next half hour. But I've got to get things all taken down and packed up again because I'm out of here about 5:30 this morning. Yeah. Anyway, Jason Buber went on to become a highfalutin. Well, I don't know if he was highfalutin, but it worked in the natural gas industry. But it was not always that way. No. Back when Jason Boobert, husband of Lauren Boobert, Clanny Oakley, back when he was just a youngin', about 24 years old, well, he decided to go bowling one night. Bowling, bowling, bowling. And once he was to the bowling alley, I reckon he had a couple of Coors Lights too many. And then it's hard to avoid things when it's in you and it's in the situation. But I'll be danged if the future husband of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert there at the bowling alley didn't decide to drop trow and try to impress a couple of young women. God, they're always like this, aren't they? The New York Post found the story, and Jason Boobert actually pled guilty to public indecency and lewd exposure. Wonder why he wasn't forced to register as a sex offender. Well, maybe that was before. No, that wasn't pre-sex offender registry. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I forgot. IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. He got 4 days in jail and 2 years on probation. But here's the fun part. Guess who else was there when he exposed himself to the young women? Yes, his future wife, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. I don't know. Maybe the two other girls were like, "No, pass, thanks." And Lauren was like, "Oh, what? I'll take cards in that game." Yeah. Erica Ann Coombs was one of the young women who were who saw more than the planned on seeing when they went bowling. A lot of balls in a bowling alley, but generally not those in the one there. Shh. And she actually still lives in Lauren Bobblehead Boobert's district. Jason Boebert went up to Erica Ann Coombs and a girl named Trisha Wales and said, "You know what? No, really, you can't make this up. You know what? Because you gotta be doing it with that whole Coors Light thing going on, the too many Coors. You know what? I got a tattoo on my neck. I do. My hair, I'll show you." And in fact, in the affidavit, Ms. Coombs says, "Well, Trish and I were standing at the snack bar, and she came up and looked at my tattoo on my back, and she pulled down her sock and said, 'Look, mine's fading.' And then Jason said, 'I have a t this is a quote. I have a tattoo on my back.'" And Trish and I said, "Yeah, whatever," and turned away. to ignore him. And then Jason come up behind us. God, this is like a Ray Stevens song, isn't it? It's like this. Well, a lot of people aren't old enough to remember, but Ray Stevens and the Streak. But it was too late. He done got to her in the frozen foods. Look out, Ethel. Yeah. And it must have made an impression because, well, Ms. Coombs, she still remembers it. His thumb was covering the head, and all I saw was the shaft. Trish and I turned away and went and told Larry. That was Larry McCown, the owner of the Fireside Lane in Rifle, Colorado. Larry called the sheriff's department, the high sheriff. And that's when the Garfield County sheriff's deputies done showed up. And they told Jason Bober, you know, you need to leave the ball down now. Probably a good idea. Might have had too much. But, of course, being 24 and full of Coors Light, he said, I ain't going, you can't, I got my freedom. I got no my rights. I didn't just show them. I didn't show them a dick. I stuck my thumb. Now, wait. Stop. I stuck my thumb through my zipper as a prank. My goodness. His thumb. His thumb. That proves he was drunk, because, well. But, Patricia Hill said, I know that wasn't a thumb, because thumbs aren't 6 inches long. And then the cops asked Lauren, and she said, no, I didn't see nothing 6 inches long with the tattoo on it. You know, we're going out next week. And then he got himself into some domestic violence trouble. He's had a tough time. And curiously, with a husband who had been busted for domestic violence, lo and behold, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert voted no on the Violence Against Women Act. Funny how that shit happens, ain't it? Yeah. I knew it wouldn't be spun. What Ernest Angley said, bless his soul. Riddle. What is the most popular drink in red states? Asks Scott in San Diego. Answer, Federal Aid. Ooh. Little golf clap since we don't have a cowbell. No, if you want to get in the program, all you got to do is get on Skype and reach out to Bob Kincaid Horn. And bang, you're in the program. I don't know of any other way. Just Bob Kincaid Horn and bang, we're right there. Oh, there's Scott. Speak of the devil. And he appears. No, you're not the devil, Scott. Let's see if this actually works. Do I have you, Scott? Are you hearing of me? I'm so happy. You know, I wouldn't be responding to you if I didn't. Hello, Robin. Hello. Yeah. Something like that. Jason. And he's not just any Jason. He's a Jason Jason. Those are the best kind. Does this have anything to do with monkeys doing math problems? You did that to me with you did that to me just as I took a drink of water. I don't want to do a spit take in my friend's living room. Quit that. Yeah. Went a long way for that one. Oh, time out, time out. I gotta make something clear. I'm getting emails. I can't hear Scott. I can't hear Scott. Well, no, you can't hear Scott if you're watching on Facebook because Facebook is not getting the audio from Skype. That you no, you get Scott and me with on Facebook. You just get me. On the head on the head on dot live stream, you get Scott and me. Because like I said at the beginning of the program, I've discovered some sort of weird ass audio problem. That and I have to set up twice as much rig, and I really didn't want to do that this evening. I just wanted to make sure we get a program out. Wait a minute. Okay, no, you're not even coming through. What the hell? You're not coming through on HeadOn.live either. Son of a gun. No. Hey, do me a favor. Let's ring off, and I'm going to see if I can bring you in over on the iPad. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just you're on the laptop now and right. So I found another problem. Groovy. It's Gremlin Night on the Horn. See you, Scott. Okay, different button. And please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let this work. Are you there? I am, and you're still not coming through, and I'm absolutely flummoxed. Well, I'm using the same setup that I use in the home studio, same cord. Same everything, and bupkis. It's like there's no it's like there's it's all one way. But that no, that doesn't make any sense either. Oh hell. And I mean it's not even this is gonna be a weird part of the broadcast. Well, Scott, I'm sorry. No, of course I like. Of course, Scott. I like to call. I like it when you call. Yes, right. Yeah, it's not even gonna. It's not even gonna show up on the podcast. Well, right, because everybody has to fill in the blanks, and guess what you've said. Well, everybody's just envisioning the monkey doing math. I am so I really am. I am so sorry, Scott. We may not have video at the Fabulous Horn Studios at the Magnificent Kincaid Mansion, but by God, I can bring in a damn phone call. Oh, if it ain't lice, it's bed bugs. All right. We'll see you, Scott. Bye. Well, sorry about that. What in the blue blazes? No, it's not a no, it's not a third party firewall because that no. Oh God almighty. Yeah, I know, Brother Deacon Asa. All we can hear is you talking to yourself. No, calling me on Facebook Messenger won't work because it isn't patched into the board. I mean, this is just a standalone phone that's pointed at me because I wanted to try to get video out. No, this has something to do with the way that the board is wired. So, ugh. You know. Gremlins. Who knows? Well, that was... That's a little embarrassing. I'll get over it. But at least we got some program in this evening. I'd been missing you guys. And we'll, like I said, not tomorrow, but we will definitely, almost, yes, 100% certain be talking on Thursday and then Friday on the front porch. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know how we're going to make up for the August shortfall, but we'll figure out a way. And cross our fingers and hope for the best. I will put the audio up on White Rose and Podbean, and then I'll and of course the video will be up on Facebook. And if anybody would like to help defray some of those $1,000 that we find ourselves in a hole in for the month of August, it is, I assure you, profoundly appreciated. And we'll, especially as I head home, crazy shit like buying gasoline. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. You are why this program exists. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve when they're in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time, by the way, especially if you're not familiar with the program. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress, unless, you know, she's Lauren Kinky Boobert, and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHCE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. It truly does. And who knows, there may be some big news after tomorrow. I'll tell you if there is. Always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Hey, listen, get your booster when you can. Stay safe. Try not to drop your guard. It's dangerous out there. I mean, I'm in a scary, scary, scary place. Because people think Jesus won't like them if they get their vaccines. Get yours if you haven't already. Get your booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. My hands were recently washed. That's why I've been touching my face right before air. Carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Use it liberally. And carry it in your pocket, your purse, your backpack, your European-style messenger bag. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown says that with the Delta variant, we need to make that 15 to 20 feet if at all possible. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "Hey, you want to see a tattoo on my dick?" Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.